Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I
thanks for another week. A whole week has passed from Wednesday to Wednesday this time, And we are so grateful that God has kept us in the midst of everything that's going on in the world around us, dangers seen as well as unseen dangers. God has kept us. And we certainly are grateful for his keeping power. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. God is a merciful God. He's merciful, he's kind, and he's compassionate. And we praise his holy and righteous name. Truly the Lord is good, and we are grateful for all of his benefits, all of the things that he does for us. The Bible declares in him that we live, we move, and we have our being. We are grateful that he kept us in the midst of everything that's going on. You know, there'll be many now from last week to this time. If you were to call on them, they wouldn't be able to answer the call. But God has kept us to this very present time, and we are certainly thankful for it. We are still ministering with the grace of God concerning the end time. This is what God has laid in our heart and in our spirit to continue to minister concerning the condition of the times that we're living in. You know, we are so grateful that God has given us this specific, particular subject matter. And, you know, we are grateful that he's equipped us, him in the understanding and how to present this particular word to this present, at this present time. So we are grateful that we are a generation that will simply pass from life to life, never tasting death. You know, we are the generation that will see it all fulfilled. You know, our subject matter, we've been using Matthew chapter 24 as our foundation scriptures. And we will be ministering from this subject for several weeks. You know, Matthew chapter 24. Amen. So we'd like to go back and pick it up again, Matthew chapter 24. Of course, last week we ministered from the subject matter of deception. Many shall be deceived at this time. In fact, this particular time period, there's a great falling away. And except there be a great falling away, the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the end cannot come. So we are grateful to know Jesus in this hour. And, you know, it would be a wonderful thing to have a closer walk with Jesus. You know, the church being in a position to be caught up with him when he comes. You know, we want to be ready. Church, we want to be ready when he comes. You know, we don't want him to catch us in a situation where our work is not done. You know, we are watching and we're waiting and we are anticipating his coming. You know, all of the signs, you know, and the handwriting on the wall, all these things are very plain and simple. You know, the very things that are going in the world is not by accident. You know, we see the creation as well as the creature groaning and travailing for the redemption of their bodies. But, you know, we are so grateful to be caught to be in this time and in these hours where, again, there'll be some that won't taste death. They will simply pass from life to life and not ever tasting death. You know, so we're grateful to be in that number. You know, I have the faith to believe that God has a people. And I believe at this time and at this hour, I'm one in the number. In fact, 23 years ago, you know, I remember when I first got saved, it was like August the 26th, the first vision that I ever witnessed or ever had was I was laying down, I closed my eyes on August the 26th, 1993, and I saw myself, I was walking with some some people, and I saw myself being taken away from this world and leaving the earth and going up in the air. You know, I saw this. So, I am grateful, you know, that God gave us this witness, you know, gave us this vision, you know. And, you know, we believe and we know that God is able and faithful to keep those things, you know, pertaining to us and present us faultless against that day. You know, we are grateful for this. Matthew chapter 24 is where we're going to take the word from tonight. You know, Matthew 24, starting at verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him to shew him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall be not left here on another that shall not be torn down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Or what shall be a sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars, rumors of wars, seeing that ye be not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. We thank God for the word. We thank God for the hearers of the word. We certainly thank God for this opportunity to minister the word of God. We are so grateful. Now let us pray. Let us go toward the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, as we come before you, Lord God, we bow in your presence. We ask, Father, for forgiveness of sin. We ask that you wash us in your blood, that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Give us of thy spirit, Lord God, fresh and anew. Fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We ask that he will lead us and guide us and teach us to bring all things back to our remembrance. The things that are necessary for this worship experience on tonight. We call on the greatest teacher, that is, the Holy Ghost. We say, yes, Lord, yes to your will, yes to your way. We ask that you would send your word with power and conviction. We ask that God, let God arise and let his enemy be scattered. We take authority over every hindering spirit. We bind it up. We rend it helpless over these service. Now we say, have your way, Lord. Keep us, and we shall be kept. Bless us, and we shall be blessed is our prayer. Speak, Lord. Your people desire to know what it is that you would have to say to us on tonight. Now we say yes. Matthew chapter 24. This end time, again, the whole thing about this deception, you know, this religious deception, you know, it must come about. You know, so we must be focused. We must be focused scripturally, doctrinally. We must be focused. We must study, the word says, to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. You know, My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Oftentimes God would say in this word that he would not have us to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those things. So the very thing that God wants us to know, he's written in this Bible, 66 books. You know, the secret things God kept to himself. But the things that he desires to know, he's made it available to us. And then he's left the Holy Spirit here to reveal God to us, the word of God to us. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Amen? The disciples came unto Jesus after he left the temple, after chasing away the money changers. They were in the temple selling and, you know, using the house of God as a place of a den of thieves and robbers. And Jesus came in. He saw all of this. He was very upset. He was very moved. And he overturned the tables and he left the temple. And he went up to Mount Olives where his disciples came to him privately. Jesus had been talking to them. You know, he has been talking to them. You know, his conversation, recognizing that his time of departure down here is almost over. 33 and a half years of being down here on the earth, it's time to, like anything else, to move on to another place, you know. He recognized that his time here is short. You know, Calvary was ahead of him. So Jesus prepared his disciples. John 14 talks about the many mansions, that he'd go away and prepare a place, that he would come again and receive them unto himself. So what he told his disciples was, you know, they wanted to know, when was he coming back? You know, when was all of this going to happen? You know, when are you coming back, Jesus? You know, when are you coming back to receive us? You know, so Jesus talks about several things here. Last week we talked about the deception. Brothers and sisters, understand that there is a religious deception. There's so much going on in the religious world. There's so much false doctrines and false teaching. And you have to be careful. You have to be very, very careful about the things that you allow to come into your spirit. You know, we have to try every spirit, by the word, to see if it's of God. You know, this is what we do. You know, it has to line up. It has to line up according to precepts and principles and doctrine. You know, it has to line up with the word. Anything outside of that is just somebody's opinion. Of course, people have opinions. They have, you know, they have opinions, and that's quite all right. But things have to line up, and the foundation is, it sits on scripture. You know, there has to be some word to back it up. You know, there has to be some foundation. There has to be some foundation. We have to get away from tradition, you know, the rudiments of this world, and, you know, going after the, you know, the things of this world and the traditions of man. And we have to get focused with this word. Amen? So we thank God for the understanding, a great falling away. And except there be a falling away, the Bible let us know that the end cannot come. Amen. Today we're going to go and we're going to take a look at Paul's letter to Timothy. In addition to Matthew 24, you know, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, pestilence, you know, all of this is what Jesus called sorrow. That's what it's called. We want to talk a little bit here from Paul's letter, Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting at verse 1, this know also that in the last days, the Bible says, perilous times shall come. We're talking about troublesome times, you know, a very troubled world, you know, all kinds of problems in this society. Life is not as simple as it once was. You know, there used to be a time when people got along with each other. You know, they didn't carry guns and felt that they had to protect themselves in the sense that they had to, you know, you'd be surprised. You know, the way the world has changed, you know, everybody's aggressive. You know, it's the world wasn't that way, and it's fastly changing. Everybody wants to own a gun or some kind of way of defending themselves, which is not a bad thing, but the world is a dangerous place. You know, wars with things like ISIS, terrorist groups. You know, you got a situation going on in this country with policemen and black youth, you know, and just stopping cars, and for whatever reason people lose their lives because they're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Perilous times. What we're talking about is troublesome times. Nation against nation. ISIS and, you know, things that are going on that divide this country, divide its people. You know, peace, no peace on, no peace that can be found. You know, there's all kinds of unrest, you know, joblessness, you know, all kinds of helpless situations, perilous times, or troublesome times. The men shall be lovers of their own self. You know, it's easy. You know, it's easy when people become hard. You know, it's hard to look out for somebody else when your situation is not easy. So it's easy to take care of yourself and, you know, forget about everybody else around you. In other words, you know, it gives people an excuse to do things that, you know, it gives them a reason why they shouldn't. The world that we live in, the hardness of this world, joblessness and helplessness, you know, the expense of everything. You know, there are things that are going on in this world that give people a reason to just consider themselves. You know, the way people used to live, they were more neighborly. They were more kind to each other. They were more in the sense, you know, in the human sense, they were more human in the sense that they could relate to each other. Now nobody cares. You know, nobody cares. Perilous time is what the Bible calls. Men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous. Covetous person, somebody that, you know, they see what you got and they don't want. It's not like they have, God has a blessing for everybody and everybody could get their own. You have it and they want it. And there's no reason why they can't get their own. But they get upset because you put forth the effort and the work to go out and achieve. You know, people, you'd be surprised. Sometimes, you know, in certain societies, we used to call it crabs in a barrel, you know, where people, you know, get upset because somebody's trying to do better by themselves. So they hold the person down, supposed to be there to help them, give them a hand or elevate them. They stand there in the way and block, but they don't do anything to help get them up. You know, we should be able to look back and pick somebody up and bring somebody with you or bring somebody along to encourage somebody, to encourage each other. But we have become so selfish. You know, their hearts have become so hardened and calcified. Nobody cares. Nobody's concerned about their brother or their sister. You know, then you'd be surprised. You got people that grew up in the same home, sisters and brothers, not speaking with each other for one reason or the other. Amen? Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. proud. Proud. You know, once, you know, we recognize that everything that we own came from God. Everything that we will ever achieve in this world is because He has blessed us in one way, form, or fashion or the other. You know, we can be a godly kind of proud, but to have pride because we feel that we have more than somebody else because we are doing better than somebody else. I mean, people, you know, we are here today, and God has so gifted and so blessed us with what we have. Nobody has the right to even think that it wasn't because of God's goodness. So why would we act as if though something is going on that we caused to happen? In other words, it wasn't God, but it was you who caused you to be blessed, to cause you to have this education or have this house or this fine job or proud, you know, just proud for just the fact that you think that you've overcome something. You can't live that way. Blasphemous. Disobedient to parents. It's a common event. You know, kids cussing and, you know, coming in all time of the night. You know, they think that they got just as much. They think that they demand respect and, you know, they can disrespect anybody, any authority. It's basically the nature of man, you know, this rebellious nature, you know, this spirit of witchcraft, you know, where people just, you know, they just have this rebellion about them that, you know, they want to rise up against authority, this atomic nature. You know, pride brings about this nature that caused people to want to compete with each other. So rebellion. I suppose the humbling, yes, father, yes, mother, you know, saying yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, it's a whole different attitude. You know, now you're on first basis, first name basis with old people. You know, we were taught respect. You know, we were taught respect for authority. You know, you have to humble yourself. Disobedient to parents. I mean, unthankful. We can't ever get to a place in life where we don't recognize and understand where our help comes from. You know, we must always look and give thanks to God for all that He does. You know, we don't want to just get up in the morning, start our day without at least saying thank you, Lord, for another day's journey, or thank you for, you know, what you're doing for me, the prayers that you answer. Thank you for my mother, if you have a mother or father. We don't want to ever get to a place where we can't thank people or thank God for the people that He's put around us and the activities, the way He's gifted us, you know, the things that He's doing for us. And, you know, it's simply God's kindness. You know, He's a kind and compassionate God. He's moved with compassion. He gives us the desires of our heart. He blesses us, even when we don't deserve the blessing. So we have to continuously understand. We have to keep a grateful heart of thanksgiving. Never get so attitudinal that you're so hardened and expect things to be this way. You know, sometimes we think that we have it so good. Sometimes we think that it has to be this way. You know, no, nothing has to be. You know, nothing in this world just has to be this way, that way, or the other. You know, we are grateful when we get up in the morning, we have good health. You know, you'd be surprised at the people who can't get up in the morning. And they lose the activities of their limbs. They lose the facilities of their mind. You know, that they lose their eyesight. You'd be surprised. I mean, I met a couple of people. In fact, I met one last week that lost his eyesight. people, it is a very humbling experience to lose your senses, you know, to not to be able to get up in the morning and look at the sky and the sunshine and just look at the world around you. You know, it is a humbling experience. But for some, God is never without purpose, never without a reason. There's always a reason in the things that God allows. You know, he doesn't always tell us what the reasons are. But I do know that God is always for the purpose. Don't ever get to the place where you're unthankful. Amen? Without natural affection. You know, it's normal for people growing up in a home to love your sisters and your brother, love your mother, you know, love your father. These things are natural. Don't get so busy that you lose what should be natural. You know, natural, you know, the desire for if you're a man to love women or for a woman to love men. Natural. These are natural things. It's natural for a child to love their mother and their father. It's just a natural thing. You know, it shouldn't be a hard thing. But you'd be surprised at how busy life and its busy schedules pushes us to a place where we, you know, forget to pick up the phone and say hello. You know, people don't miss people until that person is no longer there. And then we pile up the church with all these dead flowers and cry and go through all of these gyrations, and you could have just picked up the phone and you could have just showed up and visited, you know, share some time. You know, you can't just think that life is just going to keep happening just because. You know, we have to be grateful, grateful attitude. Amen? Without natural affection, truth takers. There are people who it's easy to do wrong. It's easy. Believe it or not, sisters and brothers, it takes a lot to want to do what's right. And, there has to be something in you that wants to do right. And want to do right, and by God. I mean, there has to be something in you that wants to do this because it's easy to do wrong, to do nothing, or to neglect people and neglect the situation. I mean, it's so easy to do this, to sit down and do nothing and do absolutely nothing. And after a while, it seems natural to do nothing. So you don't care. Don't allow yourself to go to that place without natural affection, false accusers, truth breakers. Truth breakers. You have to work at doing right because it's so easy to do what's wrong. False accusers. People lie for no reason. You know, they just lie just so. And people, if you do 1,000 things right, people don't remember that. They don't remember the good that people do. What they remember is the problems and the mistakes that they make. And we want to put everybody in the ground, put everybody in jail because they made a mistake, because they did something wrong. But we fail to recognize all of the good that they do. I'm serious. You know, talking about somebody helping you and how they made things possible, we forget about that. And we think that for some reason they should have done it. We don't talk about those things. But let them not show up. Let some kind of mistake, let some sort of problem get in the way. Then we remind everybody and how much of a failure, how much that person failed you. We shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't be that way. You know, we put people out there and we put things out there like that, and it destroys the whole character of the individual. You know, you destroy it, you assassinate them, as opposed to understanding and just, you know, of course, like anything else, trying to work things out. We just go the opposite way. Amen? So we thank God. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those things that are good. I see often, I ride down the highway, and I see trash. People just take, they throw it in my yard. They throw it all on the side of the road. You know, they just go around littering, you know, take trash out of their car and just throw it. They could, you know, just destroy people's properties and have no concern about that. You know, just no concern. You know, this, you know, it's some kind of jealousy, some kind of something that's going on, the pride of people, like something that's just common decency. You know, we can't act like we're the intelligent species. You know, we have intelligence. We have reasoning facilities. You know, we know right from wrong. You know, we've been taught right from wrong. We have the ability to make decisions and do things appropriate and do things better. You know, we should have a spirit of excellence in us that makes us want to do it better the next time or to create a better way to do it, you know. So, I mean, there shouldn't be a reason to just sit down and just let things just go to waste or go to the, you know, go to the bad. You know, we people, you know, you have to gird up the loins of your mind. You have to want, you know, you have to want the better out of life. You know, when, as a church, as being a part of the church, you know, being a part of the body of Christ, you know, we represent Jesus here on the earth. The very things that we do, the way we behave, the way we respond to things, you know, just our attitudes. You know, we have got to represent Christ here on the earth. You know, we've got to let people know that Jesus is alive, that he lives in us. He talks in us. You know, our attitudes should say something about loving our fellow brother in us, loving people or respecting people, especially people of authority, aged people. You know, there's certain behaviors that come with just simply being saved and being, you know, there's certain character and certain attitudes that come with simply being saved and born again. You represent Christ here on the earth. You know, that new nature, the born again experience, gives you a whole different demeanor. Putting away dead works, you know, shaking off the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light. Amen? So we thank God for the standards, you know, and people, we just basically talking about this everyday decent living. You know, when you walk into this Christian walk, the standards are high. You know, God demands excellence. He demands great and you know, to the pure, all things are pure. I mean, God demands the best. You give him your best. You know, when you represent, you represent him at your best. And when we don't do this, then, of course, you know, people blame and they point fingers and they have an excuse as the reason why they do what they do. You know, they expect so much out of you, but of course, when you don't do with your best, then they it gives them a reason to stay in the predicament that they're in the rut that they're in. So if everybody's doing it, then I guess it's okay. The devil is a liar. You know, God's words, it's true, regardless of who does it and who doesn't do it. You know, he expects the best out of us, and we should give him our best. Because he's always given to us. You know, God is always given to us. You know, he's never held back anything from us. You know, he gives us his best. He gave us his son, his only begotten son. You know, every good, every perfect gift comes from the Father. Your healing, your, you know, food, water, everything, everything comes from God. He gives us all his best, you know, fruit and things to eat. You know, we are richly blessed. We are richly blessed people of God. Now, what are we going to get back? How are we going to represent the body of believers here on the earth? How are we going to show ourselves? The end time. You know, the church has a calling. And, of course, like anything else, we have got to rise to the occasion. You know, the world is falling apart. People here on this earth don't have a clue. Not only they don't have a clue, they don't have the even concern about these things. It's not in their nature. It's not even in their conscience, in their DNA. I mean, so we have to represent. Let's look at this. Verse 4, traitors, greedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Pleasure-seeking. Flesh is still the flesh. And when you walk in the flesh, you fulfill the desires of the flesh. You know, no more. If we walk in this flesh, the flesh is gratified by certain things, certain pleasures, certain things that the flesh likes, gratitude and pleasure, and it loves recognition. You'd be surprised. People walk around with no shirt on, you know, showing off, parading around because they want to be something. They want to be somebody. And the flesh, the pride of life, pushes them to want to be somebody. You know, the fact that you're still alive, you're a creation of God, means that you're somebody. So we don't have to go out of our way to bring recognition to ourselves. Everybody's special. You know, everybody's special. Everybody's somebody. Everybody. Not just you or any particular person, but everybody. We thank God that he is no respecter of person. No respecter. God loves everybody the same way. Of course, he loves his people, but he loves sinners. That's the reason why he came here. We were all sinners. We were all lost. And in the fullness of time, he came here and sacrificed himself so that we can have a right to the tree of life. So we thank God for him loving us the way he does. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know, sexual gratification, you know, people satisfy their sexual needs. You'd be surprised. In today's world, you know, men don't have to chase women. Women chase men. You know, everybody wants, you know, they don't want no serious relationship. They just want a man. They just want the motion of the thing. And no commitment, just simply knock the boots. You know, we have got to want more than that. You know, we've got to want more than that as a people of God. You know, we can't allow our flesh to just get out of control. We have to bind up this flesh. We have to understand the needs of this flesh and how this flesh behaves. You know, we can't walk in the spirit and walk in the flesh. These things are contrary. We've got to bind up the deeds. We have to crucify this flesh and put this flesh on hold. We have to restrain it. We have to deny it. And in so doing, you know, we take control of our lives. You know, but if you let your fleshly desires, you know, sex is a natural thing. You know, it's not something that you have to teach somebody. It's things that people do. You know, it brings pleasure and delight to this flesh. So you know, controlling those needs, those appetites, those instincts. Lovers of pleasures more than a lover of God. I mean, this goes from sex to drugs to alcohol to overeating. You'd be surprised. It's just one thing after the other. Having a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. Having a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. God has, there's nothing with God that you can't do. All things are possible. You know, when you see a church that is powerless, it's because, like anything else, they have failed in their relationship with God. You know that the power comes from God. And he has all power, all authority. So how do we walk close to God? How do we gain the power that comes from God? And it's God that moves us. And not we ourselves. You know, we have got to die to some of this. We have got to crucify self. We got to get self out of the way. You know, we become narcissistic in the sense that we want things to be the way we want it. You know, the sacrifices that we make, the surrendering that we do, you know, the crying out, the reading of the Bible, and, you know, being in service and clapping and praising God. I mean, the things that develop your relationship, you know, lifting up eyes and calling on his name, and, you know, waving and praising and lifting up, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I mean, these are the things that help to build our relationship when it's genuine, when it comes from the heart, when there's a need, when there's a hunger, when there's a thirst for righteousness. The Bible said we shall be fed. You know, we will be fulfilled. You know, God will supply all of our needs, you know. But like anything else, I mean, nobody wants to be in a relationship by themselves. You know, who wants somebody who doesn't want them? You know, there is a seek in, although as God put a seek in our spirit, you know, he put a hunger and a thirsting in our spirit and in our heart. So we hunger after righteousness. So we seek after him. We thirst after him. We feel for him. You know, we lay before him. We cry out to him. You know, God puts a seek in our spirit so that we, it's not just a one-sided relationship. You know, I love them that love me. And then that seek me shall find me. I mean, it's impossible to please God without faith. The Bible says, he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. There is so much to gain, and then on the other hand, there is so much to lose. You know, once you have been in the presence of God, nothing satisfies you like the presence of God. You know, once you've tasted, once you have, you know, romance and embrace the love that he loves us, nothing is going to satisfy you like that love or like that relationship, like being in that position and in his presence. You know, we hunger after him. We'll taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. It is a personal relationship, and it's based on your needs. You know, it's all about you. You know, there's no limit to where you can go. You know, there's no limit as to how far you can go. You know, nobody sets the limits. You do. Or your needs set the limits. Because, you know, we do things a lot of times according to our needs, our own concerns, and we satisfy our own ambitions, our own desires, and our own hunger and thirst. O taste and see that the Lord is good, and his mercies endure for all generations. So we bless him. We bless his holy and righteous name. We glorify him. We magnify him. And we exalt him in the earth. Having a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof in such a way. God moves us, people. God moves us. When we can take people and take the limitations off, when we can let go and let God, there's no limit. There's no limitation. You give him the faith, and he fills the container. I mean, you give him your heart. What do we surrender to him? We surrender our heart. You know, belief. You got to believe. Obedience moves God in our situation. But you got to believe. We got to believe. A form of God. Could you imagine that? All of the appearances, you know, and that's what religion does. It has all of the appearances, but there's nothing to it. It's just a show, you know, a good shout or, you know, a good show and no power, no deliverance going forth. You know, nobody being delivered, nobody being set free. I mean, no miracles being performed because we're not completely committed. And, of course, like anything else, I mean, God is not slack. He understands who we are. You know, we shouldn't ever count slackness. Like we look at a man, you know, God is not slack concerning anything. He knows all things. He is all things. You know, whatsoever things we've done in this flesh, brothers and sisters, we're going to reap those things. We're going to reap what we sow. Never think that you're dealing with a man, because we're not. We're dealing with a God who's compassionate and long-suffering. But don't you ever get to the place where you get comfortable with God. Your heart should always have fear as it relates to God, because you're dealing with somebody who can be there to do the miraculous. But if you need judgment, if you need chastisement, if you need some situation else, God can do that also. So nobody's above him. Nobody tells him what to do, how to do it. He does what he wants to do. He does what he wants to do. God is sovereign. He's in charge. A form of love. You need sickness. If you're sick and you need healing, he's a healer. If you need somebody to fight your battle, he can fight your battle. If you need somebody to open a door, he opens the door. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It moves God more than anything else. The fact that you obeyed. The fear of the God, the beginning of wisdom. Fearing. Know that you're dealing with God and you're not dealing with a man. Know this. Know who you're dealing with. Understand this. Know who you're dealing with. Amen. Having a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, from such turn away. We thank God for 2 Timothy chapter 3. Perilous times are here. These are troublesome times in this world that we live in. People don't have money to pay their bills. You know, drugs. I saw some funny drug that people are using. Turning them into all kinds of zombies and doing all kinds of odd stupid things. People, this is a dangerous world. You know, people are looking for a way out. You know, they're looking for some kind of answer. They're looking for something. And then when you find yourself, you know, the pain and the disappointment and the disillusionment of this life send people to drugs and alcohol, and they get caught up in these things that take their mind. I'm serious. Just take their minds right out. You have to be careful. Dangerous times. You know, don't take things with your children. You know, you think that they don't know a lot of stuff. They know a lot. They get exposed to a lot real early. You know, the society puts a lot on them and exposes them to a lot of different conversation, and they're making decisions and choices that you made when you were 14 and 15, and they're this 5-6-year-old child having to deal with those kinds of decisions. Peer pressure, computers and the cell phones, the smartphones exposing them to all kinds of, and their peers are exposing them to all kinds of information. You better know it. You better know who you got around you. You know, don't take things for granted. Don't just assume that little Johnny and little Sally is going to be a good boy and a good girl, and they're not going to get into any trouble. Don't take your eyes off of them. And sometimes it's not so much them, it's the influence that you that's put around them. You know, the kinds of people that are around them. You know, you need to watch the people that they hang out with. You know, when you see certain behaviors, when you see a shift in attitudes and the way they respond, you know, sometimes, you know, they get mannish. You know, they want to talk back and they want to say things and want to go, you know, go out and start trying and want privacy and all these things. I mean, they want to grow up fast. You know, you better monitor their activity because ultimately you're responsible for what they do. And if they go out here and get in trouble or something happens to them, then who are you going? You give them too much. You gave them too many choices to make on their own. And they're not in a position. They may have the understanding of a lot, but they're not mature. They don't understand consequences. You know, they don't understand consequences. They just know that they want to do what they want to do. But they don't realize that behind every action, there's consequences. Perilous times is what we're talking about, sisters and brothers. And the world is not the same place. It's a very dangerous time. Jesus is soon to come back. The enemy, and I'm not giving him all of this credit, but he's made this world a wasted land. You know, he's the whole, you know, we live in a very beautiful world, but a very evil society. Beautiful world. You know, this, you know, I look at some of the things in nature, the ocean, the mountaintops, the skies, the sunsets. It's beautiful. Flowers, birds, all these things that God had put here to beautify this world. The world is a beautiful place. But the society and the hearts of man, the nature of man, we have fallen. You know, we've made some improvements, but we have lost. We have lost so much. You know, we have lost so much as a people. And it's impossible to go back and get those things. It's, to be honest with you, nobody, you know, you've got to have some things ingrained into your character. There's certain things. The certain way that people were raised in time frame, that, you know, the way the world was, the music was different, dress was different, you know, the way we carried, behave ourselves, you know, the things that we expected from each other and we expected from, you know, these things are different. They had a higher standard, a higher grade of intellect, and the way people, you know, responded to you. I mean, it was totally different. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. I mean, these things, the world is a different place. I'm trying to tell you, it is. You know, these little kids will cuss you out or whatever. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. You know, the time here is short. Jesus is soon to come, and the time, and believe me, it's just as bad in the church. I mean, it ain't no different. You got to be careful. I'm just trying to tell you, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Just don't be deceived. You know, I thank God for this particular word on tonight. The reality is you can't just walk around with a bag or with something over your head and ignore the signs of the time that we're living in. You know, you can't walk around and close your doors and act like the world around you doesn't exist, because it does exist. And eventually it will come to your doorstep. It will start knocking on your doors. Do you understand? It will show up. The reality of what is will show up at your door. So, signs of the time, perilous time, in the end time, wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, famine, earthquake, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. You know, people, this is the world we're living in. You know, all kinds of unrest. All kinds of unrest. So we thank God Jesus is soon to come. And when he comes back, I want to be ready. I want to be rapture ready. I want to be prayed up. I don't want no unforgiveness in my heart. I don't want, you know, to be out here sprung out on something and doing something I know is not in the will of God. People, you got to come on out. You got to get right with God. If your heart's not right, you need to get right. Because you don't want to be caught up in some situation and cause you to miss heaven. I can imagine that. But anyhow, believe me, if you're not ready, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you know, it's going to be done. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And he said, comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back soon. The disciples came unto him on the Mount of Olives and asked him to give us a sign of your coming and the end of the age, end of the world. Tell us when you're coming back. Specifically, if you look at Matthew 24, verse 32, when the fig tree set forth her tender branches, know ye that summer is nigh, even at the door. The generation that saw Israel became a nation, May 12, 1948, would see it all fulfilled. We are that generation. You know, we are that last generation that will see Jesus come back in the clouds, and he's coming back with the saints, and they're coming back for the redemption of their bodies. Amen. So we thank God for this word on tonight, and we bless God for these services, and we're going to stop here, and we're going to take some questions or try to help anybody that wants some answers about anything that we might have ministered for on tonight. Amen. Amen, amen. I guess there's no questions. So we thank God for another worship experience. We thank God for this time to share the word of God. We thank God for the Holy Spirit. Father, we just want to say thank you now for these and all things. We give thy name praise and glory, and we bless you, God, for all things. We thank you for the worship experience. We thank you for the hearers. We ask, God, that this word would go forth in power and conviction, that it would come forth and manifest the fruit and the harvest that you've established it for the very purpose. Lord God, we are grateful for this. We're grateful for all things. We're grateful for the lives that have been changed, for the hearts that have been touched, for the lives that have been turned around. and for the victory through the blood of Christ. Lord, we bless you now for this and all things. We give thy name praise. Now, Lord, we just ask you to continue to supply every need, that you would send your word, Lord God, to this dying world. Let somebody be changed. Let somebody's heart be turned around. Let somebody's circumstances, God, be turned around. Father, we appreciate you. We recognize that you are a light in our salvation, a very present help in the time of trouble. These are all blessings, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. We thank God, and we thank God again. We thank God, and amen. We bless you. Have a wonderful night. May the grace of God be upon you. This is Apostle Wayne.